Hey there, everybody. I know it's been a long time, but it's time for Must Love Some History, so let's get down to it and talk about it. Today, I want to bring up a few of the historical anomalies and points of interest in Hamilton, the musical. So, what I've done after watching the musical is seen a bunch of other lists, and they miss so many of the good parts, like the real inaccuracies, and it seems like they want to be more friendly to the play than be honest about the inaccuracy. I love Lin-Manuel Miranda, I love the musical Hamilton, but it is not perfectly historically accurate. So, I want to go over a few of them, just because it's my fun thing to do. The very first one is that in the second act of the musical, Burr, Madison, and Jefferson approach Hamilton regarding James Reynolds, and they accuse him of speculation. The reality is, those three didn't even know. They weren't in the room, they didn't accuse him of anything. They were included in the musical because adding people to the cast would have just saturated it, I'm sure, and there would have just been too many characters to know. The reality of it is, it was three other people, Venables, Muhlenberg, and Monroe. The other two don't end up being anybody of any real consequence, but James Monroe is actually very important. He crossed the Delaware with George Washington. He was injured in the American Revolution, and he went on to become the fifth president of the United States. My favorite part of this story, where it leaves the musical and it includes James Monroe, is towards the end of his life and the life of Eliza Hamilton, he decides that his conscience needs to be relieved. And so he visits Eliza Hamilton where she lives near the White House. And he comes in and he's looking at his feet and he's wringing his hands and he's saying things like, you know, water under the bridge, bygones be bygones. And Eliza cuts him off. And the quote that I pulled from what I don't know if it was a biography or where I got this from exactly. I wish I had the citation. Her exact words were, "Mr. Monroe, if you have come to tell me that you repent, that you are sorry, that you are very sorry for the misrepresentations and the slanders and the stories you circulated against my dear husband, if you have come to say this, I understand it. But, otherwise, no lapse of time, no nearness to the grave makes any difference." And to me, that is the ultimate mic drop. If you came to apologize, cool. If you just came here to clean your conscience and tell me that things have changed or something's cool now, well, no, it's not, and you can get out of my house. And I love her for that. One of the other inaccuracies is in one of the songs, Hamilton laments that instead of him, Charles Lee was chosen to lead troops instead of Hamilton. That's not really how it went down. Charles Lee was one of the men appointed a general by the Continental Congress to lead underneath George Washington.
He was a general.
Alexander Hamilton was a colonel. That's how ranks work.
Charles Lee was chosen to lead because he was a general, where
Hamilton was simply a colonel. This changes later, but for that part of the song, it's a very important piece of information. The next inaccuracy is this: there's a song that Angelica Schuyler sings where it sounds like she's debating courting and dating Hamilton or not, and she eventually decides that because he's just politically posturing by being interested in her, she kind of pawns him off on her sister Eliza.
That's not the case.
When Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton, and Angelica first met, she was already married to John Church. The story was changed to add that love story element and to add that tension element to the musical. And this one, I think,
Lin-Manuel Miranda actually talks about in a bunch of interviews, and it makes sense. The next one is that the big cause for the Hamilton Burr duel was Hamilton's slander of Burr during his bid for president when he ran against Thomas Jefferson. It contributed in that once the actual slander happened, Burr went back and saw all the other times that Hamilton had something negative to say about him. But the catalyst for the duel was not the presidential race. It was actually when Burr ran for governor of New York State a few years after his presidential bid. A misconception between some of the founding fathers, and it's alluded to in the musical, is that Alexander Hamilton had George Washington in his pocket, that he had some kind of ammunition on him, that he held some kind of sway or spell over top of him. And the simple fact of the matter is, if you read some of the letters or personal writings of George Washington, they just had similar opinions. They were both Federalists. They believed that the central government needed more power than the states, that they had the power to have a bank, a military, a professional military, and so on and so on. The next one is where the musical says that Eliza burns the letters between her and Alexander after she finds out about the Reynolds affair. That's true. The musical absolutely nails that. Where the musical leaves reality is that they separated and that there was a big gap in between the time they lived together. That simply didn't happen. Oh, Eliza burned the letters. She was angry. But whatever happened between her and Alexander, he stayed in the home. They reconciled. And ultimately, she went on to preserve his dynasty by opening the first private orphanage in New York, by funding the Washington Monument, by doing all of these things in the name of Alexander. And in my opinion, between forgiving him so quickly and making sure his dynasty lived on, she's the hero of the Hamilton story. Hands down, no doubt about it. I loved the person who did the singing for that character. I love the character in real life. I love her mic drop on James Monroe. She's an incredible, incredible woman. And this one really bothers me because I've seen a bunch of top 10s and 10 lists and that on YouTube. And they point to Martha Washington not actually naming a feral tomcat after Hamilton. The fact is, she named her cat after Alexander. The cat's name was Alexander. The fallacy in the musical is that the phrase tomcat was not used until the 19th century. So what? I think the disagreement here is that she named it Alexander because the cat was going around and was kind of a womanizer or kind of a pretty boy like Alexander, and I doubt that was the case. Martha Washington was quite proper, and I don't know that she did anything like that. But she did name her cat after him, and I think they just used the phrase tomcat because it rhymed and it just sounded cool in the song the way it was used. I mean, he goes, that's true. I mean, it's like a joke with the audience. Now, my favorite part of this, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, is that Lin-Manuel Miranda was really honest about the historical accuracy, or inaccuracy, pardon me. He appreciates the story of Hamilton, but there were parts of the story that needed to be altered to make it friendly to Broadway audiences. And insofar as I can tell, it worked. I didn't even know anything about this history or this little section of revolutionary history before I watched the musical, and after watching it, I had to drown myself in American history. Now, I'm as proud as anyone can be to be Canadian, but there's just something special about American revolutionary history. Were the founding fathers perfect? No, not even close. Were they beacons of virtue, decency, and integrity? Also no. But they were among the very first people to develop a notion of human beings being born free, that human freedom is humans to lose, not earn, that they were not beholden to a monarch or a lord, or they were not indentured to people. You are born free, and unless you commit a crime or unless you hurt people, that freedom is yours to lose.
And to me, it just tells you what human beings are capable of. They were able to suspend enormous bits of conflict to make this work. Is it perfect? Is the Constitution perfect? No, it's been amended like 26 times. Of course it's not perfect. But to me, it enshrines what being a person is. Trying your best to be your best all the time, recognizing where you fail, and fixing it when you've identified that shortcoming. Now, I know that this is one of my shortest episodes, and I'm going to leave it at this. The next time I come back, I've got a few episodes planned. I lost somebody very important to me, and I'm going to dedicate an episode to her. And that episode will be about Boadicea in British history. And I shouldn't even call it British history because it predates that. It's more Roman classical, but we'll get there. And I'm going to do a full biographical episode on George Washington. Again, he's not a perfect person, but he's awesome. And he has to be the person that invented dress for the job you want, not the job you have. So, in the meantime, I wish you all the very best. We're living through a historic time with a pandemic and lockups and vaccines and vaccine passports. I'm happy that you are okay. I'm happy that your family's okay. And I wish you nothing but the best through all of this. Take care of yourself and keep on history and everybody. Love y'all.